Hi, thank you for listening to the Print and Packaging Lab powered by PIA Mid-America. We are a regional trade association serving the printing and packaging industry. This is a Thrive episode, ongoing professional development for print and packaging teams. And now we'll move into today's session.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another America's Print Association Network Culture Brief. These briefs are designed to be tactical and short and hopefully give you a couple things to think about, a couple things to put on your to-do list, and maybe even some stuff to fight about, because these, especially the Gen Z conversations, are so fun for me, because as a proud Gen Xer, I am often tempted to roll my eyes at certain things because my lived experience and blessed Gen Z's lived experiences are completely different. And I know a lot of Gen Z people. A lot of my friends, and including myself, are parenting Gen Z people. I have two daughters that are on the very tail end, the very youngest of the Gen Z generation, and I'm absolutely obsessed with them. I'm fascinated by them. So I'm going to give you lots of things to think about with regard to them as we think about to our workplaces, making them important parts of our teams, and embedding their wants and needs and desires into our company culture. Because what will not work is for us to all go, they need to do it the way we did. They need to pay their dues. They need to earn it. That's a one-way ticket to people not staying with you. I think we are doing a terrible job of this right now. I'm just going to say that. And it is why we see so many young people graduate with a lot of qualifications out of graphic arts programs in colleges and universities in this country. And 3 years later, they're out of the industry. This is what keeps me up at night. I'm obsessed with it. So I have lots and lots. I'm talking thousands of really exciting young people in graphics programs in colleges and universities right now. So these are some things that I'm going to want us to think about as we hire them and onboard them and give them a really, really important experience of working with us. So these are things anyone can do because they are mindset related. They are messaging related. Another thing I'm super obsessed with is sales enablement. So everything to do with how we talk about what we do on our website, in our social media, and in our sales processes are informed by some of this stuff. Because remember, there's two applications here. Everything we're talking about is about our employees and our future employees, current employees, and ones we want to keep around. But it's also about our customers. The oldest Gen Zs are pushing 30 now, believe it or not. Shock of all shocks. And I was just laughing about this the other day, that this conversation about Gen Zs is one that we very similarly had about 10 years ago about millennials, right? So our industry doesn't just have a Gen Z problem. We have a millennial problem too. And that means we need to think everything about how we do things, how we talk about it. That's really what is very, very important here. So when we think about what Gen Z people want is that their work matters. So I think it's super important that we kind of leave the manufacturing mindset at the door and we start really thinking about what the impact that print has on organizations. Print is a crucial part of the marketing supply chain. No company in this world exists without print. You've heard me say that a million times, but that purpose is enable organizations to do what they need to do. And not just corporations, not just pharmaceutical companies, but nonprofits and colleges and universities and all organizations need this. But we can also talk about that we acknowledge our impact on the environment. We can talk about the steps that we're taking to mitigate some of those things. And we can talk about our place in communities. So our Gen Z friends need to know about what we're doing in our communities. Do you give your employees a half a day off once a quarter to go build a house for Habitat for Humanity? To talk about that. Create worlds and organizations and subgroups in your companies to make sure that all areas of our culture are represented. Do our companies look like our communities? Some things that we really want to think about when we think about how we fold Gen Z into our companies. And that might look like that our business objectives are tied to bigger stories, right? Nobody wants to hear a story of how we're all working hard so the CEO can buy another boat. Okay, that is not what anybody wants to do. I just had a conversation with a girlfriend the other day whose son is in college and he's like, what am I doing? Like, why am I working so hard for? Who am I enriching, right? These are existential questions that these young people are asking, and I'm here for it. I think it's fascinating. So again, we really want to talk about how our work matters. It matters to organizations. It matters to our communities. It matters to every single family that you are helping to live in this world. That's important. Providing meaningful work to people is real and valuable. And those are the kinds of things that we should be talking reading about and thinking about as we move forward and as we bring these people into our organizations. Your work matters. Your work is important. We're feeding people. We are helping people keep roofs over their heads, and we're helping organizations solve their missions and do what they need to do in the work, in the world, right? So when we think about step to grow, Gen Z people have a plan. They know. I admire it so much because I believe that my entire career, I was pretty reactive, right? I was like, I'll get a job and then I'll get another job and then I'll ask for a promotion. And then when I started my own consulting practice, I said, I'll start a business, right? Young people at 21, 22 years old, no, they want to grow. They want to get promoted. They want to have impact. They want titles, and they want that responsibility. So we can't just say, oh yeah, we promote people. Very transparent about what career trajectories look like, how you get from one place to another, what skills and talents you need to bring to the table in order to get promoted. So we can't take a passive role here. We have to map this stuff out. Say, oh, you want to start in customer service and then move into sales, and then your ultimate goal is to be VP of sales? Well, here are some things you're going to have to know. You're going to have to learn finance. You're going to have to learn profit and loss. You're going to have to learn about managing people and set it and managing pipelines and things like that, right? We have to map this out for them so that they can see it and understand it. And this can go in a lot of different ways, but we also really want to think about providing coaching, providing mentorship. I don't know about you on this call right now or who are listening later, but my training program in my first printing company in 1994 was 2 weeks of watching other people do stuff, watching a few videos, and then being handed my sample case and told to go out into the world and bring in some new business, right? This is not going to work with Gen Z. We've got to provide them with scripts and roadmaps and playbooks and be very, very intentional about what success looks like, what a great job looks like, and my favorite question of all, which is to say, on December 31st of this year, when you look at this person and say, you killed it this year, what did they have to do in order for you to say that? And then tell them and help them get there, right? These are the things that we really want to think about. And my goodness, feedback loops that are constant and two-way is super important. I know that there are a lot of printing companies out there today who don't do any kind of employee reviews at all. It might be somewhere deep in the employee handbook that they happen, but they're not happening. And once a year is not going to cut it. To be providing real-time 360 feedback to people to help them understand what they're doing well, where they could improve, and if they're doing something wrong, how to fix it and not do it again. These are the kinds of things that we have to do because, as Brené Brown says, clarity is kind. And I don't think I have to say this out loud, but we should never be yelling at anybody, right? We should have regulated nervous systems that can have conversations with people even when there's high-stakes stuff going on that doesn't devolve into people yelling. Because I believe that what you will find is most Gen Z people are going to turn tail and walk away if those things happen. It's not necessary. We're all grown-ups. We should be able to regulate our emotions, and we should be able to provide feedback to people. And that comes as a shock to some people that feedback is 360, right? My 16-year-old daughters give me a lot of parenting advice. Okay, Gen Z people have been raised to believe that they have a voice and that they have empowerment and that they have a right to talk about their ideas and give feedback when they see something that they don't agree with. And we should celebrate that because those viewpoints are valuable. It doesn't mean we have to act on everything. It doesn't mean that we have to change everything because of them, but we can thank them for their viewpoints and take them into consideration. It's very, very good practice. So for a long time, I would say, even right as the pandemic was happening, but even before that, there was a lot of talk about remote work and people working from home. And was that a good idea? There's been, obviously tons and tons of research about whether it builds trust and can we do it? But we really need to think about the roles and whether or not sometimes that work can be done remotely, as long as there is accountability associated with it. And more importantly, trust. So what I mean by that is, a person wants to work from home one day a week. They have a list of deliverables that they have to complete in that time frame. There shouldn't be any reason that they can't do that. And who cares if they do their laundry while they're working? It shouldn't matter. I had a client that I was working with several years ago that wanted to sit outside sometimes. There was a beautiful picnic table next to a river. Why wouldn't we let her sit outside, right? The picnic table is there. We have to change our mindset and think about why not do these things, right? Why not apply these ideas and why not grant these things? So again, we really, when you think about empowering somebody, it basically means less prescription and more clarity, right? If I ask you to do something, if I say, here's an idea or a project, I don't need to tell you exactly how to do it. I just want to tell you what the outcome needs to be and what the deliverables goals are and give you the ability to do it the way you think makes sense. Now, if it goes off the rails and there's problems, we can get involved in it. But the best thing we could possibly do for Gen Z is tell them what needs to be done and when and what it looks like, and then stand back and let them ideate, let them create, let them be interesting and creative and come at things from completely different ways. So that's always really, really important, because that kind of ability to be autonomous is incredibly valuable. They have gone to school in different times. They've learned different ways. They have different relationships to technology than we do. So when we have an open, curious mind, amazing things can happen. And we also really want to do this visibly and audibly and out loud and proud, right? We want to talk about the impact that they're having. We want to give them the kudos. We want to celebrate their accomplishments and lift them up, because that's what they're used to, right? I always joke that I grew up watching Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner blow up Wile E. Coyote all the time. It was kind of violent and funny and silly. These kids have been raised on a steady diet of empathy, problem solving, and community building. So let that sink in. This is the world they live in. This is the kind of work they want to do. And we need to let them do it. So when we talk about transparency, this is about sharing information about the organization. It's about talking about how well you're doing or whether there are problems. And it's about celebrating wins and talking about setbacks openly. So what you'll hear a lot, there's a new podcast that's absolutely fantastic with Brené Brown and Adam Grant. And they talk a lot about transparent communication, and they talk about things going wrong. And it is also about repair, right? I, if any of you are parents out there and you know that you probably grew up where a parent would never say they were sorry, even if they were wrong. But the idea of saying, hey, we made a mistake, we tried this, it didn't work. Or, hey, I was overly harsh with you last week when you asked me about that vacation. I'm sorry about it. I will try to do better, right? These are the kinds of relationships we're building. This is how we want to build trust. And we want to make sure that we are telling the truth, right? I still see to this day companies that maybe are not always completely honest with customers. And that kind of, that's just one example. But if we are not behaving with integrity and we are not telling the truth, it can be very confusing to people to understand what is true and what isn't true. When am I supposed to tell the truth and when am I not supposed to tell the truth? So honesty is the best policy, and we need to do that throughout our organizations, regardless of title, regardless of the hierarchy. So as leaders, our aim should be empathetic coaches who are curious about the lived experience of the people that we're working with, so that we can really get to the heart of what are the points of friction, where are the problems, and how can we help solve those together. So we want to be a community of individuals. We want diversity of voices, right? It's if we all came from the same schools and we all know the same people, not a lot is going to change. But if we hire different people from different places in the world with different lived experience and different demographics and different backgrounds, that will create a breadth of experience and knowledge that can't be replicated any other way. So another thing, I've talked about this in another culture brief, but I love this idea of reverse mentoring, which is to say, imagine having the CEO pair up with a Gen Z person and say, teach me TikTok, right? Gen Z has a lot to teach us about technology, about viewpoints and things like that. So being curious about that and putting them in the position of teaching others things is incredibly empowering. And I also love the idea of doing a town hall, ask me anything kind of situation. And that could start with the CEO, and it could be something that rotates through every member of your team. But imagine a little hot seat where people are allowed to ask each other anything. I mean, obviously you could put some parameters around it, but it's a great way to build trust. It's a great way to make that workplace a little more intimate, get to know each other a little bit better, and basically flatten those organizations out, right? So the CEO is not in some ivory tower who never comes onto the floor and no one's allowed to talk to. We're working collaboratively, and we learn from one another all the time. I love this idea. So when we hear about belonging, we all know that this is important. Every one of us remembers what it was to be like on a playground somewhere in the 70s when everybody decided we were the one that people weren't going to like that day, right? Belonging matters. It is crucial to our survival to feel like we belong somewhere. So how do we do this in the workplace? Again, it is about representation and decision-making, making sure that we are looking at things from every angle, that we are talking to all the teams, all the stakeholders, all the roles to find out where there are problems. Because imagine if we brought in independent consultants to every organization to find out, is the culture as sound as we think it is? And we gave people the freedom and the safety to talk openly about what they think about it. I wonder if there are some areas that need improving, but everyone's too afraid to talk about it. So we really want to make it okay to talk about those things. And again, we really want to make sure that we are making everyone visible, that we are giving people decision-making capabilities and autonomy over things, and giving them permission to fail, permission to make mistakes, and permission to improve. So this might also, for some kinds of organizations, look like creating affinity groups. Maybe you've got an LGBTQ group. Maybe you've got a Latinx group. Maybe you've got different groups. Maybe you've got, maybe you're embedding Girls Who Print into your organization to provide information and resources to the females in your organization. These are things that make real impact, don't cost you anything, and can make everybody feel like they're important. So these are incredibly important. And remember that everything that we're doing here ties into not only retaining employees, making them feel important and valuable, but innovation is crucial to our survival in this industry. So if you have a Gen Z person come to you and go, did you know that we could print postcards on scented paper? As a baby boomer or a Gen X person, I want you to say, tell me more, right? Be curious, be open to these things, celebrate it, thank them for their creativity and their bravery, right? This is what will make the difference. I am tired of seeing our Gen Z people leave the industry, and I'm sure you are too. So if you go back and read this stuff again and think about, just pick one, right? Just pick one of these things I talked about today and give it a try. Maybe it's reverse mentoring, or maybe it's an affinity group or something. But I want to thank you all for being here. This is how you can get in touch with me. You can call me, you can text me, you can email me, you can book time with me on my website. Anything I can do to help, I am very devoted to the America's Print Association Network. Again, these briefs are every Thursday, the first three Thursdays of every month. We do one on company culture, one on sales, and one on marketing.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Print and Packaging Lab podcast powered by PIA Mid-America. Contact us to learn more about membership and for access to this and other content made for the printing and packaging industry. Get in touch by emailing us at info@piamidam.org.